guys.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
So I'll probably hate it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Tuesday. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
No pleasantries, thank you. I've had an epiphany.
What's your epiphany?
I've had a lightning bolt. I have a breaking, developing opinion that hit me and hit me hard. And I haven't shared it with you or anyone. I'm going to actually debut it right here. I'm going to debut it right here, right now, this developing opinion.
Oh, so we're actually inviting the listeners into the laboratory.
It's very exciting. Very exciting. It came to me very late. As usual, as I'm racing around at home, jumping in the shower, jumping in the car, it occurred to me on John Tavares. That's where we're starting, John Tavares. And the Bruins are meeting with Tavares' representatives right now in Los Angeles today. I don't know if it's actually at this hour, at this minute, but it is today. Sweeney, Neely, Cassidy are meeting at the agents of the offices of CAA. Creative Artists Agency, is that it?
I believe that is correct.
In Los Angeles, the agents for John Tavares. Tavares is there as well.
Or something like that.
Okay, so that's where we're starting. But I started off I'm going to give you the development of this lightning bolt. And that was, I've started growing aggravated over the last 24, 48 hours.
Yeah.
Hearing people tell us why it's not going to happen because the Bruins can't clear the room. Meaning can't clear the salary cap room, they can't move money.
Right.
That's always the reason we hear, right?
Right.
You know, the local guys who are shooting it down, Joe Haggerty, the kid at the Globe, who I heard last night on Jones's show, some national people. Well, the Bruins can't clear the room. They can't clear the room. They have to jump through hoops. They can't clear the room. They're $12 million under right now, and Tavares is going to cost them $12 million. So, like, first of all, I think they're wrong. I think they have the room. And if they just move one or two big contracts, they'll definitely have the room.
Sure.
So, but that's how people are handicapping it, right? They're handicapping it like, well, how do the Bruins get the room? How do the Bruins get the room? They won't have the room. They can't move Backus. They can't move Krejci. They can't move that money. They're stuck with that money. How do they move the money? There's no movement clauses. They can't do it. They can't do it. So they don't have a chance. And then it occurred to me, not only can they move the money, not only is it easily rearranged, they've already done it. They've already got it figured out, people. It's just common sense. Why are they meeting in Los Angeles?
If they didn't have something lined up to move guys already.
If they don't have the room in their back pocket. Why is Tavares and his agents, who spent a lot of time on this, and Jimmy gave me a good story today where Tavares has been deeply involved in this, detail-oriented. He's got a 77-page binder of all the teams that are going after him and all the various things. Why would Tavares give the Bruins a seat at the table? Why would Sweeney, Neely, and Cassidy schlep out to Los Angeles with their pitch if they don't have the room? They wouldn't do it! I'm shouting because it's common sense. Stop telling us they don't have the room. Here's a guarantee. They have it. They have all the moves in their back pocket because otherwise it makes no sense. Just play it out. Play it out. They go out to Los Angeles. Neely, Sweeney, and Cassidy give them a hell of a pitch and they win. They win the Derby. They get John Tavares. 7 years, $84 million, whatever it is, and they win. And then they go down to sign the contract and they go, oh, actually, wait a minute, John. Never mind, we don't have the room. Like, what do you think? Do you think they don't know they can't do it? If they can't do it, they're not on the plane to Los Angeles. They're not sitting in the room, and Tavares isn't giving them the time of day. They've got the room. We just don't know what it is. So we can play the parlor game. What do they got? And I think that's an interesting part to it, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit right now. What do they have? But if you think they're sitting there going, well, maybe we have the room, maybe we don't, but we're going to go out there anyway and pitch them and give them this contract. Like, Am I nuts to think this?
No, no. In fact, I mean, I don't want to let the air out of your balloon over there. I sort of just assumed it. Like, as we were having the discussion, I think they already know what they can do. I thought we were just discussing about what they could do to do it. But that aside, yeah, they probably already know.
No, but listen to the commentary of the people who say it won't happen.
Oh, no, they can do it.
Read the front page story in the Globe today. They can't move them. You know what? Dude, they've got the room already. Otherwise, they're not on the plane out there.
No. My guess is they already know which teams they can deal, what players to, and what it would take. And so, and maybe that mean in some cases it might mean eating some of the money. But regardless, you know, are they going to push themselves to a little bit of a limit here to get under the number, under the cap number? Sure. Yeah. Look, I told you the mere fact that they were even exploring it. I hope is for the legitimate reasons. In other words, I hope they're not in it for some sort of like, you know, stupid secondary real reason. In other words, well, we think this, you know, by getting this out there and having the meeting, maybe it'll give Krejci a kick in the ass. Or I don't know. I'm just throwing crap against the wall because heaven knows the Bruins have played games in the past when it comes to pursuing high profile free agents. But I get the sense that it's legit. I get the sense that they want him.
Well, but.
And then beyond that, yes, if they want him, they already know how they can create the room, or they've already got it figured out.
They have the room. They have the room. The room is there. We just don't know how they're getting there, but it's already done. Otherwise, they're not on the plane and Tavares isn't taking the meeting. That's just common sense. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, so maybe you arrived at it yesterday and it was so elementary to you that you didn't even feel...
No. I just
need to mention it. But, I mean, I keep reading these stories. How do they move this guy? How do they move that guy? How do they get the room? How do they pay for everybody? They've already paid for everybody. Otherwise, they're not on the plane out there.
Right.
And Tavares isn't giving the meeting. They figured it out. No, we don't know what it is. And I'm happy to play that game. What is it? But whatever it is, whether they've... You know they can attach a prospect to Backus and get him back to St. Louis, or they know that they have something worked out for Krejci, or they know they have takers on Krug, or you name it, whatever it is, they got it. It's already done.
No, listen, they wouldn't even be talking to the player if they didn't think they already had things lined up.
So handicap it the right way.
But I would say, don't you think that's true of everyone that's talking to him?
You bet.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that was sort of my point, but go ahead.
No, but that's right. So I think anyone who spends their time right now saying, well, how does San Jose figure that out? And they've already figured it out. It's already done, or else they're not making the pitch. And Tavares certainly isn't giving him a seat at the table. He only gave five teams, six if you include the Islanders, a chance to talk to him. There's 20 teams that want to sit down with him. So he's and their agents have already looked at all the teams, and it's really not that hard to figure out. You just look at their payroll, look at their future payments, and say, well, you can't afford them, so you're out. The Bruins have already passed that. We're past it. We're past the room part. Handicap it the right way, and that is, why would Tavares come here? And I am okay. Like, to me, if the Bruins lose out on him because he wants to go back home to Toronto, well, what are you going to do about that? And if they lose out to him because the Islanders can give him an eighth year and you can't, well, those are the rules. What are you going to do about that? Like, I sort of accept that. And, I'd be okay with that. If they don't sign him because they can't create the room, like, that's just, that, I just told you, I don't think is the reason. And that's not how you should be handicapping it. You should be handicapping it the other way around. You have the room. You can do it. Why would Tavares come here? Why would Tavares come here?
Well, because it's a good hockey market. It's a team that is turning a corner. And maybe there's the real value in this past season for the Bruins. You know, if they didn't have a good year this past year and you didn't see some of the promise with some of the young guys they've got, a guy like Tavares might look at him and say, what? No. You guys are still a little ways off in the distance here. I want to jump on something now. Well, they had what? They had the second highest point total in the league or third highest point total in the league, whatever the number it was that ended up. Like, you look at it. Now you can go to them and say, hey, look, here's what we got. We got Bergeron. We got Marchand. We got Pasternak. We got a bunch of young kids coming. We got one of the best puck-moving young defensemen in the league in Charlie McAvoy. We are going to be contenders for 5, 6, 8, 10 years. Who knows?
So your pitch,
we're in it for the long haul.
They asked us in the midday. It's a good question. You're Sweeney, Neely, and Cassidy today. That's your pitch? It's purely hockey, and this is what we got coming?
Yep.
Can I give you a few more?
Sure.
So this involves sort of bashing the other teams a little bit, but, you know, I think that's what you're going to have to do. Toronto. John, you're from Toronto. which that may appeal to you, obviously, but you understand the pressure inherent of you going back to, you know, you're not going to have that here. I mean, there's a lot expected of you. We're going to be expected to win. You're going to be expected to win. There's going to be pressure on you. But your life isn't going to be ruined like you going to Toronto. You go to Toronto and you don't succeed, your life is done. You will be ruined.
No, you won't succeed because it's an institutionalized loser. That's why you wouldn't want to go there.
Well, you could also do that. But
of course, they could probably do that to the Bruins, too.
Exactly. I think hockey-wise, you and Toronto are pretty even, you know, in terms of what you can pitch. Good young rosters, headed in the right direction. I mean, you came down to the third period of Game 7 last year. You guys are equal.
So that's a good way for them to make Toronto negative for them.
But I think that that's the way you mitigate the going home factor. Yeah, it's great to go home, unless it's not so great, because they're all up your backside.
I mean, because if I were him, I'd pick Toronto. I love that Toronto team. You know that. Hell, I picked them to beat the Bruins, for crying out loud. They got tremendous young talent. They got one of the great young players in the game in Matthews. Like, all the things you would say about the Bruins, Toronto, to me, in some ways, has even more, although they're certainly short on the back end. But, and beyond that, they can pay him a ton.
Okay. So, you could sort of play the middle where, well, you want to be a star, but you don't want to be too big a one because Toronto comes with a whole host of problems. On the island? No matter how good you guys are, you'll never be more than fourth, fifth, sixth fiddle in that town as a team and as a player. And oh, by the way, next year, I didn't even realize this. You know, next year they're splitting time between Brooklyn and they're going back out to Nassau. They're like,
yeah, they redid Nassau Coliseum,
but they're like splitting the schedule.
Yeah.
Is that right? Did I read that right?
Yes.
Like they're playing half their games at Barclays in Brookline and half in this rat hole in Nassau.
It's pathetic.
And so it's like, you know, the days of
the old Green Bay Packers playing in Milwaukee.
Yes, which was 10 times better than this. And I don't know how, but just trust me, it was. Even if the island, you know, the days of the early 80s and Al Arbor and Mike Bossy, I mean, even if you win at a high level, I don't know where you're ever going to be in the hierarchy there in New York. Will John Tavares ever be a star in New York?
No.
I mean,
he won't even be the biggest hockey star in New York.
Right.
Henrik Lundqvist right now is bigger than he is.
So you want to be a star that could be it here, but you don't want to be too big a one where it's just bananas like you'll be back in Toronto. Do you really want to go to San Jose? It doesn't matter out there.
I told you, if he ends up in San Jose or Dallas, I don't get that.
Can you also pitch the city? You have kids? I don't even know. You have kids?
Well, I mean, if he's single and he wants to live in warm weather, then I get the draw of San Jose or Dallas.
Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Do you have kids? Because you'll find no better schools.
He's a hockey player. He can't care about the warm weather. Like, if a guy, I mean,
some of them did.
Yeah, he can care about chasing tail.
Well, so again, but then you know what? You don't want him anyway. Like, he's Tyler Seguin,
all I'm
for
saying,
crying out loud.
Fine, sell the city. Toronto's a great city. Exchange rate, I don't know. Do your kids go to school? Because you find no better schools in here, and no better places to live than here, and no better medical care than here. Sell the city. You want to go to Dallas, John? Good luck with the schools down there. Good luck with all that. Enjoy it. Yeah, you there's no state income tax, and it shows. There's a reason. And there's a result.
If I'm the Bruins, the team I would fear is Toronto. And not just because it's his hometown. Because it is. It's a great place to live. If you're a young guy, it's a great place to live. If you're a married guy, there's good education there, too. Like, Toronto's got everything to offer. The one thing, it's a good point. The one thing is, you really want that burden of playing in your hometown. People calling all the time for tickets and all that other crap. That could, not to mention the media pressure and everything else. You don't want that. There are so many guys who have played in their hometowns that said, "Don't you never want to do that again." So
he got engaged last summer.
Okay. Does he have kids yet?
Nope.
Anyway, those are the things. That's how you should be handicapping it. Not whether the Bruins can create the room or not. They've done it. So what do you think it is? Like, we can play that game, too, and we'll take your thoughts on it with your calls. Again, right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Welcome to day two in the Tavares Watch at the CAA offices in Beverly Hills, California. Today, there are two teams that are scheduled to meet with Tavares and company. At 10 o'clock, TSN Intel has the San Jose Sharks first up, followed by the Boston Bruins at 3 o'clock to make their pitch. Now, to recap day one, yesterday here on the street corner outside CAA offices, the Maple Leafs were the first to fire a salvo, 3 o'clock p.m. local, lasting a presentation lasting about 2 hours. followed at 7 p.m. New York Islanders, led by Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz, making their latest pitch to Tavares that lasted about 2 hours and 15 minutes before closing out the evening.
And then the Bruins met today. No word there.
No, they're meeting at 3 o'clock L.A. time, which I believe is 6 our time.
Aha! So there you go, a time. How do we know the time? Who reported that?
The clip that I just played?
Oh, I'm sorry.
When hosts aren't listening. Clip it, Jimmy.
No, we were discussing our strategy for the upcoming segment.
Maz said something to me. He distracted me, and he I didn't hear the key part of that report.
Yeah, blame it on me.
Yeah, I am. Hags tweeted that the word on the street is that it was Cam Neely, Don Sweeney, and Bruce Cassidy making up the Bruins contingent, meeting with Tavares in L.A. today. No current players. Bruins keeping it simple and about the hockey, which I think is fine. I don't know, would it have hurt to have Bergeron there? Brian, our director on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, informs us that John Tavares' wife or fiance has actually taken a job in the Toronto area in her hometown.
Mississauga,
Ontario.
That's like Canada, Somerville.
I mean, and that's where Tavares is from.
So these are the things we should be talking about, not the Bruins' ability to clear a room because they've already figured that
no,
out.
No, listen, yeah, to me, that is absolutely 100% a fair point. Like, they'll figure out the money. There's always a way to figure out the money. And like you said, they already have.
Well, no, I mean, sometimes there's not. I mean, sometimes, a lot of times, you look at a roster and you say, we just can't handle someone making $12 million for whatever reason. That's not the case here. They have to make some moves. But my point is, they've already made them. They already know they can make them. Otherwise, they wouldn't go through this trouble, and Tavares wouldn't go through this trouble of sitting with them.
Well, and in a lot of ways, they might actually even be better off than some of those other teams. For this reason, when it comes to the cap, is that, like, you know, Matthews is going to be due for a payday. Marner's going to be due for a huge payday. Toronto's got to account for these guys. Now, the Bruins have a couple of them. You know, they have certainly, you know, McAvoy that they're going to have to take care of, and as they go forward. But there's a veteran guys that are going to be up sooner rather than later. In some ways, they have more flexibility than those other teams.
Okay, your thoughts here. Pat in Boston, lead us off. What do you got?
All right, so I don't think it's as easy as signing I definitely agree that they have the room. They almost have $12 million in cap space right now. And Sweeney has to be careful that he doesn't Shirelli himself here because what I would do is, you can load up the front end of Tavares' contract. Say you give him $15 million in that first year.
So I think there's rules against it, Pat. Before you go too far, I don't think you can really do that anymore.
I think you – who just did it? Some team just did it. Or even if not, you still have, you can extend McAvoy on starting on Sunday too. So you can give him that line, and you don't have to get rid of – everybody keeps throwing Krejci's name out here. You don't have to get rid of Krejci. You can get rid of Backes, and then you can have a Bergeron, Tavares. You put Krejci on the third line. You could probably keep him for 1 year. If you extend McAvoy, you can keep Krejci for one more year before you had to move him.
Okay, maybe. I mean, we can play around with that. I think moving Krejci makes sense, not just because he's the highest-paid guy on the team and the arrow's pointing down. It's because he's your second center. And when you go Bergeron, Tavares at center, there's I don't want Krejci at 7.25 getting third-line minutes or fourth-line minutes. Or a second power play or no power play consideration, depending on how it all works out. Like, no, that's a waste. When you put him on the third line, match him up against... No. I just...
Okay, but again, pick one or the other. Would you rather pay Krejci 7.25 or Backes 6 to play on the third line?
So I'd rather keep Krejci than Backes, of course. Except I think as we go about the unrealistic stuff, Backes is going to be exceptionally hard to move. Krejci, I think you'll find a taker. I think, but again, the point is, the Bruins already have it figured out. The Bruins already have it figured out, or else they wouldn't be at this stage.
To me, it's probably going to be Krug. I just think there's a connection to Grzelcyk there. They just signed Grzelcyk for what? 2 years and 2.8, and they're not perfect comps. But they're both small left-shot defensemen.
Talk value over replacement.
Yes, exactly right. You save yourself, you know, $2.5 million, $3 million a year.
But I'm telling you, is Krug that much better than Grzelcyk?
No.
Where he justifies, and he's better. I'd certainly rather have Krug than Grzelcyk. But that he's almost 2X. He makes almost twice as much as Grzelcyk does.
It's way more than that, I think, because he's 5.25, isn't he? Grzelcyk's 1.4.
I thought you just said...
I made a mistake. I made a mistake. I was factoring in Grezik's number of 2.8. It's not. It's 1.4. It's 2 times 1.4.
Okay, so if you're talking about a real cap sport and value, I think Grezik at 1.4, I'd rather have than Krug at 5.2.
Yeah, he's almost 4 times as much. It's ridiculous. So to me, like, and if they need a left-shot defenseman anyway, to me, Krug's the guy out. Too much money for what he gives. He's a good player, but he's too much money for what he gives them.
There's also creative ways, like Steve Conroy writes in the Herald. For example, would the St. Louis Blues take back Backes? As Backes's physical problems mounted here, it looked like the Blues made the right decision in not giving their former captain a long-term contract, except for one thing. The Blues have sagged after Backes left, missing the playoffs last year, and some in St. Louis pointed to the loss of his leadership as one of the reasons for the downfall. Now, it would be presumptive for the Blues to think that Backes could step right back into that locker room and reassert his influence with a snap of the fingers, but it might be worth it if he also came with, say, center Trent Frederick, say, a Bruins prospect. Trent Frederick, who could push for third-line center position this year with the Bruins as well. Frederick is a St. Louis native. The Bees, meanwhile, already have paid $16 of $30 million owed to Backes, which could make it more palatable for St. Louis. So, again, Frederick was drafted at the end of the first round by the Bruins. So you send St. Louis David Backes back at half the price, because you paid half his contract, and a former first-round pick from St. Louis. Does that get him off your hands? I don't know. Maybe. All I know is the Bruins already have this in their back pocket. Otherwise, they wouldn't be meeting with John, or something like this. Whether it's Krejci, whether it's Krug, they've already got something like that already lined up. They have to have. Scott in Pennsylvania. Yes, Scott.
Hey, Mike, I think what you opened the show with is great. Like you say, why would you go to the extent of asking for a seat when you know you don't stand a snowball's chance in hell? And the other reason, they did absolutely nothing at the draft, okay? Everyone was talking they're going to move Torrey Krug, they're going to do this, that. They didn't. Because why would you move something when you don't know where you sit?
Yeah, so
you have more leverage now, Felgi, knowing that you have a shot at this guy, and everyone out there knows what you're willing to move to get him.
Well, I mean, I don't totally understand that. I mean, I would just keep these guys because I want the fallback in case they don't land Tavares. So, I mean, I'm not dealing Krug because I paid him. I don't want him on the team. I would do it because I would need the room, and he would be just a candidate. But if you don't get Tavares, I'm coming back with David Krejci. Like, I'm not going to have Trent Frederick or Forsbacka Carlson or Noel Acciari be my second line center next year. No, I'm just doing that if something better is coming in.
You have to look at when there's a hard cap. You have to look at it all as part of one big trade. So in other words, it's Krug plus whatever to get Tavares. That's how you have to look at it. In a hard cap league, you have no choice. You can't fudge the money.
Conroy got creative here. I mean, this one I don't think is realistic, but it's fun to think about. On Krejci, he says, what if Krejci is the player to be moved? Well, there is a certain team that has been in a perpetual search for a centerman for years. It plays north of the border and wears blue Blanc et Rouge. Yes, the Canadiens. The arch rivals rarely make trades with each other, and it might be difficult for any Bruins diehard to even think of throwing a lifeline to the Habs when they are floundering. But again, Tavares is the type of player for whom you make exceptions. Would including Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, a true Claude player if there ever was one, make Krejci's 3 years at $7.25 million worth it for Montreal? So, you know, what Conroy says, you just attach a prospect to one of these big contracts out the door, and that gets them out. Now, I want to see what Trent Frederick looks like here. I like the thoughts of him. They need size, and he's a bigger player. So, Forsbacka Carlson, I don't know. Like, he feels to me expendable. I don't know. I saw him a little bit here, saw him at BU. I don't know. I don't know what he really projects as an NHL player.
If you had to give up Frederick to get Tavares, would you do it?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. I mean, me too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I say me too. Because, again, in that league, this is how you have to do it. Again, with a hard cap, you got to make choices like this. There's no fudge in the numbers. You know, you can't sign someone on bird rights and all that other crap. None of that exists. And spread out the bonus money. It's a hard cap. So you have to look at it as to get Tavares, would you trade Backes and Trent Frederick for John Tavares? If you could have made that deal during the season, you'd do that in a second.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones, as promised. Frank the Tank, what do you think of Tavares today?
Well, look, the fiance thing kind of scares me a little bit, but that's also something that can be worked around. You can find a job in other places, and you know he played on the island for a long time, so I'm sure that can be worked out. But when you really sit down, you take a look at everything. Who are the two teams in this race that have the best chance? It ain't going to be Dallas, because he's not going there. He's not going to San Jose. They're not going anywhere anyway. I know he's buddies with Stamkos, but that team has got their own issues. It's the Bruins in Toronto. Babcock coaches him with Team Canada. But as everybody around the league knows, Babcock's a prick to play for.
That's right.
So he might have already gotten some experience with that and might not want to go there. The hometown thing could be a draw to him, but if he goes to Toronto, even with Matthews there, he's going to have to be the man there. Matthews is still young. The team is young. It's the same situation as he would be on the island. He'd have to be the man trying to bring a team out of the dungeons. If he comes here, he's not the man in any way, shape, or form. He's your second center. Bergeron's the leader on the team. It could be one of the situations where he might want to go somewhere where he can just concentrate on playing hockey and he doesn't have to be the face of the franchise.
Depends what he wants. You know, does he want all that pressure going home and being, you know, the savior of his hometown Toronto Maple Leafs? I mean, if that's how he's wired, you can't compete with that. You can't. If he's wired to just take the most money and, you know, he's not a risk taker, then he takes 8 years and $88 million in New York because no one else can offer him 8 years. If he's somewhere in between, you know, like it just depends on how he's wired. That's what it depends. And, you know, it's his fiance who's taking a job in her hometown. Do they still live there in the off season? Do they commute back and forth? Like, I don't know if it's not a great sign for the Bruins that the fiance just took a job in Toronto, but I don't know if it's a deal breaker. You know, when we talked before about the Bruins clearing room and, you know, they've already cleared it in their mind or in their back pocket. They've got the room. They've got it figured out. They just need to pull the trigger. Otherwise, they wouldn't be out there, as I've said. So I think people are handicapping it wrong. But Conroy does make one more point that I think is a little bit more germane, and that is who he plays with. All right, so if the Bruins were somehow to land Tavares, you can kiss goodbye what has been the best line in hockey.
He's got to get Pasternak. He has to.
Because why it would be difficult to break up the connection that Bergeron and Brad Marchand have developed over the last 7 years, you would think that David Pasternak would be moved to Tavares' line. It's right. Does it make any sense to pay $12 million a year for John Tavares and then play with him Jake DeBrusque and, you name it, Anders Bjork?
No.
Right, again, Ryan Donato, like as much as you like those kids, you got to give them someone real and legit and ready and right now.
Oh, it's got to be Pasternak because there's no way you're splitting up Marchand and Bergeron. There's no way you're doing it. And not only that, Bergeron will make do with what you give him. I mean, we've seen enough of it to know. So, and he won't make a stink about it either because he's Bergeron. So it sucks for him because he gets taken advantage of because of what he is.
Well, pretty much everyone who's played on that line has lit it up.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a given. It's really, as long as you get the first two guys, the third one they'll make do with. But you got to give him Pasternak if that's the case. You have to.
Brett in Foxborough, what do you got for us?
This may not matter now because you already meant the team. But do you think players still want to play with Marchand with all his antics, especially in the playoffs? I mean, I don't know if it's an issue because he's such a great player, but he's so stupid sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a fair question. Let me ask the panel. Do you think players would resist coming here because of Brad Marchand being on your team?
No.
No.
Me neither. I mean, I think Ryan Callahan, you know, or...
I bet you even a guy like that would get over it if he got his money and someone talked to him ahead of time.
They will always get over it if you give them their money, Tom Brady. I stick by that. Most people get over everything if you start with the contract. So, I mean, I would agree with that.
But Mike, I think Mike Hoffman, now that's a player that guys would have a difficult time playing with.
Right, yeah, right. Or who was it, the Nick Young kid and with the Lakers with the wife ratting on the, like, that's one. Would Marchand rise to that level? I don't think so.
See, no, because you know what happens. Someone who knows... you know, let's say in this case, Tavares, on the Bruins, calls him up and says, listen, dude, you don't got to worry about this. Trust me.
Bergeron.
He's right. He's fine. He's a good teammate. Believe me when I tell you, once you get to know him, you're going to love him. Okay? And I, in hockey, it's hard to play any game without hating some of the guys on the other team. It's the nature of the sport. Like, I don't think it's a deal breaker. I don't.
You were just about to say something about the line combinations on the previous call?
So I like the idea. Like, Tavares, Pastrnak, and DeBrusk. Oh, I like that. Like, the idea of DeBrusk having a real center, DeBrusk to me has turned a corner at the end of the year or starting to. Like, if you're Tavares and you see a kid like DeBrusk, you're like, I could work with that. I could play with that kid, and you're going to give us Pastrnak too? We're in.
Nick in Rhode Island. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Felger. How's it going?
Good.
All right, so I was on Twitter, and I came across a tweet from Sinbin.Vegas using Cap Friendly's post-tax calculator.
Okay.
Because you guys have talked a lot about, you know, Vegas, Tampa, Dallas, Nashville, all those teams, they can offer a deal, and there will be no state income tax. Boston, of the teams that Tavares is meeting with, actually has the second lowest income tax percentage for the state of Massachusetts. So if they match the offer that was reported from the Islanders for $88 million. Boston would only really have to offer $82 million. San Jose would have to go to 97, and Toronto would have to be 98. So if Tavares wants to take that number and really cares about money into consideration, San Jose and Toronto, they're going to have to offer an exuberant amount of money, and that's going to be really difficult because I know San Jose wants to re-sign Thornton. They've got Couture that they're going to have to re-sign.
Is the Toronto, let me just stop you, Nick. Is the Toronto thing based purely on taxes or exchange rate too, like the whole package?
It just says state income tax. I would imagine that the exchange rate probably has something to do with it as well, but I have no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but they get paid in U.S. dollars, right?
I think so.
So I don't think the exchange rate shouldn't factor in.
I don't know if they do, Maz.
But the taxes up there are huge.
I don't think that's legal.
Sure it is.
Well, a Canadian company paying Canadian taxes on the Canadian exchange, blah blah blah, and pay someone in U.S. dollars?
No.
American companies pay someone in?
No. You're misunderstanding me.
The equivalent of?
Yes, the equivalent of the millions in U.S. dollars. So he's going to get his money either way, but the taxes up there are high. They are. They're high. Toronto's you pay a ton. You pay out the nose in taxes in Toronto.
What's this? Jimmy also gave me this tweet. Per Mark Diver, I'm not sure what that is.
He covers the Providence Bruins and sometimes the Big Bruins for the Providence Journal.
Awesome. Excuse me, Mark, for not being aware. Okay, so Mark Diver of the Providence Journal says the Bruins have reportedly checked in on impending free agent winger Michael Grabner. No big thing except Michael Grabner played for years on the island with John Tavares. FYI, just saying. We continue with this. Also, the very latest on the Julian Edelman appeal, why the door may be ajar for Julian Edelman. We'll get to that. We'll finish up Tavares stuff, get to your calls on that, and give you Edelman in a long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, we open with the Tavares stuff. You can continue to call us on that, by all means. I did think we would get a good look in that, or just get a check in here of what they're saying and how they're covering it up in Canada. Jimmy sent us a story this morning from Sportsnet in Canada just about, you know, the process and Toronto going in there and the Islanders already meeting. And, you know, in this story, it was a great detail that Tavares is a meticulous guy who spent the last couple of months reviewing his options and had a 77-page book prepared that contained a deep dive into each of the organizations he was most likely to find appealing. So, like, that just sort of tells you that the Bruins are not searching to find the money. They've found the money. They know how they can do it. Tavares knows how they can do it. And now it's all just a matter of, does he want to live here and play here? And the money, like, we can sort of play around with the exchange rate, the tax rate, da-da-da.
the money's all going to be roughly the same for him as well. It's going to be between $11 and $12 million over 7 or 8 years. That's what every offer is going to be, right?
Sure, right.
I mean, give or take. And if there's an exchange rate or there's a tax rate, maybe they have to bump it up to account for it, but that's what we're talking about. So the money's going to be the money. The Bruins have the room. They've already figured out how they're going to keep create the cap room. Now it's just about fit, both in terms of where he wants to live, where he wants to play, and who he wants to play with and for. That's what it's about. So how do you stack up against the Sharks? How do you stack up against the, you know, everything? Your team, the city, all of that. But in this report, there's a video clip. They sent a guy, Sportsnet, sent a reporter to monitor and stand outside the CAA offices in Los Angeles. Have you heard this already?
No, I haven't. I did not.
Freaking hysterical! I saw this, and I first thought of, like, boy, what a world of difference the NHL free agency is versus NBA free agency, where it's like, you know, I hear that LeBron James and, you know, like the decision and like all this pomp and circumstance with LeBron James and where is he going to go and these breathless reports and 24/7 and 18 guys on the thing. Listen to this poor guy. This poor guy is standing out in front of this office building in L.A. somewhere where they've actually had to move because he was standing too close to the building and the security people didn't let. Not that there's a horde of media there. No, there's just one guy, one stray reporter with a camera and a microphone from Canada in front of this building.
It's like local cable access.
And they asked him to move. But just listen, here's how the reporting of the John Tavares free agency sweep say, this is not a put on, this is how it goes.
Let's go to some blockbuster meetings being held at an agency.
Oh my goodness, blockbuster meetings at an agency.
Live outside the offices of CAA where they are allowing him to stand because he was too close earlier. Arash Madani joining us.
Good. All right, so what the hell's going
on
there?
What did Parcells say, Sid? Yeah. Sid, what did Parcells say? This is why you lift all them weights?
Yes. So just stop. Arash is miserable because he's been standing out there baking in the sun for, I think he says 6 hours at one point on this. I don't know if it's included. He's sitting there all day with really nothing to do. And he's baking this. He's baking in the sun. He's a little heavy set and he's just sort of schwitzing out there in the sun in L.A. So he's sort of mocking his whole experience. It's good. Good.
So what's going on there?
What's going on here? Yeah. Well, all day, there were a bunch of cars that would come in, and nobody wearing a suit that was going to talk to John Tavares was among them. And then at 2:54 local time, 5:54 Eastern, a black car was stuck in this little roundabout for a while, and then the doors opened, and out walked Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Mike Babcock, and they went inside and took the elevator up this tower. And they're going to visit with Pat Brisson and John Tavares and the rest of the folks over there to make their free agency pitch.
Arash, did it look like they were going to use PowerPoint?
Sid, I would say prior to 2:54, yeah. The highlight of this six-hour ordeal today was when a Brinks truck showed up.
Oh, nice.
About noon. Yeah. And we were wondering here, is that the $88 million that they're just going to put in cash in front of JT? Maybe that was the deal.
Careful for cars backing up behind you. We don't want to see you get hit by a car. Yeah, other shoulder. It's okay.
Lots of space.
Could have had a bad Kia moment there.
Uber and Lyft is a big thing in California, I got to tell you.
Stop. Like, they have nothing else to report because the guy's been standing there all day. No one's coming to talk to Tavares. They make him move across the street. Only one team, the Toronto, but he's not allowed to talk to anybody. So all he can report is that, yeah, Shanahan got out of the car. It was a black sedan. And boy, there's a lot of Ubers around here, eh? Like, this goes
the roundabout.
Continue.
You think cabs are dead in Toronto. I mean, it's finished in California.
When you said living the dream, I believe that is your Twitter handle, among other things. Living the dream, believer in the Columbus Blue Jackets. As you live the dream.
Now, that's the one.
Yeah.
Now, that's no, but the Blue Jackets is the one.
Right. Airports, hotels, yeah. Arenas. We can update the airport.
And
hotels.
Sidewalks.
And sidewalks. We can add sidewalks. Where does this rank among the assignments that Arash Madani has got in his life?
Good question.
I'd pretty much have to say, Timmy, this is around the bottom.
All right.
All right. Arash Madani, setting.
It's been great, though. It's been really great.
What's going on behind me right now? Right?
There's guys getting in cars. And they
are you guys here for the John Tavares sweepstakes?
No.
No, nobody has been here. We've asked a number of people, hey, you know anything about the hockey stuff going on today? They're like, no. And then a few people would ask us, what are you here for? We're like, well, we're waiting for a hockey player. The guy looked at us and then walked away.
All right.
So,
all right,
that's the temperature and the theme here in on the outskirts of Hollywood.
So Rash Badani locking up yet another Canadian Screen Award.
Yeah,
with his tremendous work.
So not quite the LeBron decision. At one point, there a black car, a back sedan, pulls up next to him, and a bunch of guys in suits step out. And so he asks him, "Are you part of the Tavares thing?" Like, no. No one knows who Tavares is, why he's there. The security's like, could you please move across the street? And so that's, again, not quite LeBron James in the decision.
See, if I'm Tavares, this is why I don't want to play in California.
Exactly.
Or it's part of the reason I don't want to play in California. And Dallas is probably worse. I said to you yesterday, I would be stunned, really, if this guy picks Dallas or San Jose. Dallas and San Jose,
really?
You're gonna. This kid's from Toronto. He's a good player. It looks like he's got grit. Like he's got all of the makeup of, dare I say, like an East Coast personality, right? He's got all of that, and he's gonna go play hockey in California or Texas. Man, if he does that, then you don't want him anyway. You don't. Like, I'll tell you though, if he goes to Toronto, and everything you said earlier is right, like the pressure of playing in your hometown and for that franchise, given the burden that they have of not having one in, what is it now, 50 years, whatever the stupid number is for them, it's absurd. I'd actually have a level of respect for him because it tells me he's not afraid of it.
Oh yeah, take it on.
He's not afraid of it.
And oh, it would pork you. Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, just go down the line. That forward group already has skated circles around you. Now you add this guy?
Scary.
Ooh.
See, but that's another reason. Like, maybe that's another thing the Bruins can pitch. It's like, yeah, but they got no D. I mean, we beat them. We beat them. And have you seen the guy on our back end? Because he's going to be here for 10 years, at least. He's a stud, and we're not letting him leave.
All right, we continue with your Tavares thoughts. And we'll get to Julian Edelman coming up after the update as well. No commercials. Is the door ajar for Julian Edelman?
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.